So let me tell you a little bit in broad strokes what we were doing for the week. We were at this Costa Rica Mission Center, and we were part of the crew that was working on the center itself. Will Bailey has been down doing this for at least 10 years, his ministry. And the ministry for him started when he was a teenager, really. When he was a teenager, going with his home church to Costa Rica and having a heart for the land and the people and the connection. And so as he grew into that, thank you very much, he wanted to really turn his vocation into serving among the people of Costa Rica. He is married a woman from Costa Rica, Yolanda. They have a beautiful daughter. You'll see her picture in the slideshow today. She's just a wonderful family and doing work to support Methodist churches in that area. This is the scripture that we lived into all week long. Love from the center of who you are. Love from the center. Don't fake it. So we're spending all week long in Romans chapter 12. And so we take a piece of it every day in our devotions, and then we're trying to integrate it in the work that we were doing. And I want to sort of share how we did that and how it might apply to our lives here as well. Starting in verse 1, the way Eugene Peterson translates this great text of the Bible, he says, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work life, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So we spent the first part of the weekend, you know, wondering what would we have to offer, and on the reverse side, what would we be open to receive during the course of the week? So what do we have to offer on behalf of this church? What do we have to offer on behalf of ourselves? And what would we be open to receiving from God? Because there are places in the text that makes it clear it's not so much that what we do for God. We don't bring this goodness to God, I think is the way he puts it, but God works that God's goodness in us. And so we began by asking the question, what is it you offer to God? And I love this text too because it says, what do you offer to God in your everyday ordinary life? Not just your exotic going away somewhere else to be in mission life, right? But in your Monday to Friday life, your regular weekend life, your life in your family, your life in your job, make that an offering to God. We sometimes make the mistake thinking that only the people who go away on mission trips are really in mission. But I love the way that the text calls us back to just a really earthy kind of spirituality. It's your everyday life that God wants to be an offering. So since we find ourselves fashioned all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something that we aren't. I've been on a lot of mission teams, and one of the things that you realize very early on is that you got to have this good division of labor to make it work. And you got to have people of all different skills and talents to make the team good and to function well. You've got people who sort of are behind-the-scenes kind of people. You've got people with particular skills in an area, and you've got people who are really good at working with the team and relationship building. All of those skills work together. Now, there's a ton of work to be done. And we all got divided into the various parts of the body, if you will. We were mixing concrete. There's Brian doing that. We were building walls. And a lot of it was about, as Dave suggested, it's about irrigation and flow, water flow through the property. They would get these torrential rains that would come through. And we could see our work getting washed away some days. But we could also see the water, where the water would want to go. And so that helped us to continue to innovate on the irrigation system as we went along and make it, you know, the water flow in constructive ways. Here are some of the many, many rocks. It's not an exaggeration to say that our team moved tons of rocks this week. And they were so good at it that they kept running out of rocks. I mean, literally, they'd run out of a pile and the supervisors would go out to make sure they weren't just kidding. But they were moving these rocks so well and moving them throughout the whole property, mixing concrete and preparing walls for stucco, all kinds of things, checking water flow. Here's one of our happy young adults, Jacqueline, who was along with us, who learned that she was pretty good at stucco because she was a good tennis player. And she learned that wrist action was what made you a good stucco person, because you literally take the stucco and you fling it against the wall, and then you get some of it to stick. You don't get all of it to stick. You go back later and you kind of scoop up the other stuff. But the first step in that process is really flinging it against the wall. And she was one of our best flingers that we had there. This was in the pit. There were so many steel beams to be painted there. And this is, you got a better picture of the pit. It really was down a hill, and they painted and painted and painted, because in the property, they're building, there are three dormitories to house teams, like our team that came there, and so this will house other future mission teams as well. There's a large open-air dining facility, and then they're building a daycare center along, and I'll show you some pictures of that in a minute. They're building a some apartments for missionaries to come down, other short-term missionaries or mission interns, and then a home that's being built for women, young women, to be able to go to school and college and have a place to stay that'll be free for them to stay while they're going through college. So it's an amazing compound that we're working on, but they're building it all themselves, including all the steelwork. And so all of these beams, they're cutting and welding and then putting together, but they all need to be painted and they all need to be prepped. Now, it's exhausting work. There's Kathleen Douglas. She was speaking, one of our speakers, at 9:30, and she, like the rest of us, middle of the day, we started work at 6 a.m. We'd work for 2 hours before breakfast at 8, and then we'd work another 3 hours, 9 to noon, and it was labor-intensive work. And at lunchtime would come, and you'd often feel like this. You just need your siesta. You understand why in that heat, that's part of built into the culture. You take your midday siesta so you have something left to work with in the afternoon. So it was a lot of hard work, and our crew did amazing stuff, stucco and painting and concrete making and all kinds of stuff. You'll see more in the slideshow during the offertory. Now, I've always thought that it's not just important that you do the work, but how you do the work matters. In what spirit you offer yourselves, in what spirit you work together as a team. And so we talked one of the days about the power of a smile and the power of joy. One of the things that was infectious about this group, and one of the reasons I think people go back to ASP or go on volunteers and mission trips multiple times, is because of the spirit of joy that pervades the work. It's not that you're doing it because you have to or you feel like there's this burden. Now, there's a sense of compassion and responsibility, and that's a good thing. But there's also this deep joy that comes when you use your gifts and you offer them freely to someone else. And even when you're learning new skills and new things along the way. But this idea of keeping a smile on your face and doing the work with joy. And so there are fun moments along the way. Part of it is just the beauty of the place. I mean, Costa Rica was just gorgeous. We got to see the Pacific coast. This is a place we went to after a worship service on Sunday afternoon. Saw this dramatic storm come in that afternoon, just powerful, beautiful landscape. And everywhere we walked, just on the compound itself, it was like we were working in a tropical rainforest. You know, the trees and the vegetation, the plants, the flowers, just beautiful. We had our own fun every morning. Mel was in his glory as he was leading the hammer song. And every morning we danced. This Amanda was great to have along, one of our young adults, and she added a lot of spunk and spirit. But I've never seen Jerry Cullen move like that either. And that was part of the joy of it. I think, Dave, you're captured in one of the other pictures, so there's incriminating evidence on you as well. But just the joy of being together and moving and starting our day, praising God and preparing for the work that we'd have to do. Now, we had some fun. There's a woman who, from another church in the United States, who had come with her church and done work there, and she started painting murals all over what is now going to be the daycare center. And she only got so far, so on her own, she came back for another couple weeks just to paint these murals. And so they're all through the property, and we had some fun recreating them with real live models. Some of our... there was no typecasting there, so in case you were wondering. And even the hard work, we made fun, you know, because we called it the pit, and if you have to paint metal, a piece of metal after metal, and all of this rebar, and all of, Jerry and Dave were acting like they were in jail, and there was their help sign that they were holding up. Now, at the very heart of Romans 12 is this ninth verse. It says, love from the center of who you are, don't fake it. Don't fake it. And what you learn on these mission trips, and what we learned again on this one, is that more important than any of the work that we'll do are the relationships that you build and form and the people you come in contact with. Starting with Will Bailey. Will Bailey is this amazing young man who has made his life's work to be in ministry with the Costa Rican people, with the Methodist Church in Costa Rica. And he talked with us that first Sunday. We went to worship, and we were sort of like the kids, excused for after the children's message, before the sermon came, because it was going to be in Spanish, and we would not really probably glean a whole lot from that. He took us downstairs into another building, and he was telling us about the ministry of Costa Rica Mission Projects. And he was talking about, you know, when you come on a mission trip, it's really just about being the church. And he said, the things that make you a church back in Severna Park are the things that will make you a church here. What do you do at Severna Park? You worship. You study scripture together. You have fellowship together. You serve others, and you reach out and let God's love overflow with you. Isn't that what ministry is about? Isn't that what the church is about? And so what he was trying to do in a very profound way was to connect this one-week experience where we were suddenly connected with Costa Rican Christians, brothers and sisters who we didn't know before and who we will probably not have a lot of contact with since, but linking us in the mystical body of Christ. They've got mission, if I'd worn my other shirt today, it's a Costa Rica Missions Project shirt, the words on the back of the t-shirt are the prayer of consecration for communion. Which is to say, when we share in the one body of Christ, when we share in the blood and the body of Christ, in the cup and the bread, we are connected in Christ. And so we learn in a very profound way how we are connected with other Christians across the world. The leaders who Dave was talking about, these crew leaders who worked with us to teach us new skills and laughed at us, and they could have laughed at us a lot more, actually, than they did. But they were patient with us, and they taught us these skills, and they led and the relationships we formed with them along the way. Just really powerful things. There was Ugo and Ugito, and there was Harold, and there was, they're just amazing crew that worked with us. And one of the things really cool is Costa Rica Missions Projects is sending a mission team from Costa Rica to North Carolina this fall. And they're going to be in ministry with churches in and communities near Rocky Mount, North Carolina, which is a really cool way of saying this is a reciprocal ministry. We had chances like this, Jim Mitchell from our team, teaching a song on the guitar with this young man who was there. Or we had Brian who could give his phone over to a little kid after the worship service and they could let him play a video game on his phone. That just those kind of connections that happen. The women who prepared our meals for us were fabulous. Not only was the food good, we had a lot of rice and beans, but also all amazing fruits and vegetables and all kinds of meals. Just a great, great crew. This was our meal one day. Doesn't it look like something that you should present at a catered dinner or something? Just beautiful food as well as really good food. The worship was powerful, as Dave alluded to. We got to go to worship on Sunday morning with one of the local Methodist churches, just a few blocks really from the compound where we were. And we were invited in, and you immediately see the signs that we're connected, right? The cross and the flame. Whether you're here in Severna Park or you're down in San Isidro, Costa Rica, we're part of this one body of Christ. On Tuesday night, I had a chance to preach or to give a short message at the prayer service. Most of that service was prayer, as Dave suggested. It was mostly prayer, but with a short message. And so Will was translating for me. They laid hands on members of our team who wanted prayer as well. So we weren't just praying for them. They were praying for us and praying with us. Isaac got to play guitar and help lead the worship alongside of Will. So we're singing in Spanish. We're singing in English. Powerful worship that we had. Of course, the kids loved our young adults who were there and vice versa. But we saw the faith, the deep faith on the faces, in the words, in the music of the people that we got to worship with. It's the powerful experience of being in God's presence, even when we couldn't understand the language. These body motions and these faces transcended language. The women, the old women marking up their Bibles as they heard the scriptures being read. The young men praying earnestly at the end of the worship service. The eyes of the children. And then, of course, the relationships that form. We had wonderful experience of being able to have a husband and wife team go to be part of this. We had we got to hang out with their dog, the dog on the compound who became like our adopted pet all week long. Jess loved that and others. We had a mother-daughter team. Kathleen and her daughter Jacqueline spoke at the 9:30 service about their participation. We had some ASPers who became VIMers. And Mel Mayer, what can you say about Mel other than the fact that he's probably led about 1,000 mission teams by now? Mel, who's been doing this and helping this church stay involved in volunteers and mission for years, who gets to be there with his son, Isaac, who gets to be there with his girlfriend, Sarah, and all of these relationships that deepen, and then all of the people who didn't know each other before the trip as well, and these new relationships that form. I want to share a final thought that relates to our week in Costa Rica, but it also relates to this core scripture text of loving from the center of who we are. N.D. Wilson, in his book, Death by Living, life is meant to be spent. And if you want to believe that and live that, go on a volunteers and mission trip or go to ASP or get involved knee-deep in a ministry here. Life is meant to be spent. Rule number one for mortals, love the Lord your God with every bit of you. We know that, right? That's old. That's ancient. That's written in our text. That's written in our hearts. We know that. And if we pay attention to Jesus, we know rule number two, too. Love your neighbor as yourself. But here's the best part. Tip number one for mortals, ask God to call your bluffs. That means if we know number one and number two, and if we say that we love God, and if we say that we love our neighbor, let's not just say that. Let's ask God to call our bluffs, and so we can make it real. Make it real in our relationships in our communities. Make it real in the relationships we have in this church. Make it real in the relationship we have with our colleagues. Make it real in the relationship we have with the world in ministry. Don't fake it. Love from the center of who you are. We had the gift and the privilege of getting to do that in a really sacred place in Costa Rica. And we did it with you and on behalf of you, the congregation. So thanks be to God for all the ways that love becomes real. Amen.